browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today, failure to warn. We're doing a throwback on the analysis of what happened during the high of the COVID era, where we were lied to. Ladies and gentlemen, we were lied to about so many things. We were lied to, ladies and gentlemen, about the source of COVID. We were lied to about the mask-wearing scheme while Sir Anthony Fauci stood before the cameras day after day after day, warning of the need to mask up, to put on a mask, to wear the mask. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. The autopsy data are in. When they reveal what they reveal about COVID-19 vaccines, two newly published peer-reviewed studies in Science Public Health Policy and the Law provide critical forensic evidence that strengthens the link between COVID-19 vaccinations and a whole range of fatal adverse effects and events. Ladies and gentlemen, did you realize there's a federal law that prohibits doctors, hospitals, medical associations from giving you any medication without first of all informing you? It is called patient's informed consent. You must be informed what that medicine will do. Listen, I'll just use a personal illustration. Back less than 100 years ago, on one hospital stay that I happened to be in, it wasn't COVID, but a nurse came in with a little handful of pills, and she had them in a little cup and a cup of water, and I was to swallow those. One at a time, I took the pill out, and I said, "What is this? What does it do?" And she would tell me, and I said, "I'm not taking it." She'd take another one. I'd say, "What does it do? What is it being given for?" And she said, "Well, the doctor," I said, no, "I've been off that medication. I'm not supposed to take that." She pulled it out. There was about five pills in the little container. After about the third one, she just took the entire little cup of those pills, dashed them into the sink, and walked out of the door. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm quirky. I'm not taking a pill or accepting an injection of anything that I do not fully know what's going to happen, what it's doing, why it's doing it, and what to expect. But I'm looking at this article. Systematic review examined 325 autopsy cases from 44 published studies, finding that 73% of the deaths were adjudicated by independent physicians as being directly caused and a significant link to the COVID-19 vaccinations. For example, sudden cardiac death, 35%, pulmonary embolism, 12.5%, myocardial infarction, 12%, vaccine-induced immune heart disease, myocarditis, 7.9%, multisystem inflammatory syndrome, 4.6%, cerebral hemorrhaging, 3.8%. Most of these deaths occurred within 1 to 2 weeks of getting the vaccination, with the highest concentration being within the first week. It goes on to say the study further demonstrates that the majority of COVID-19 vaccines associated with autopsy linked to the cause of death, cardiovascular events. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read on and on in the article. But we are discovering now that CDC dissuaded the doctors in the hospitals from doing autopsies on an individual that died with COVID having taken the COVID vaccination. Too many of the autopsies proved beyond a shadow of doubt that the vaccination caused the death. So therefore, the CDC required that the doctors stop reporting or asking for or the hospitals getting an autopsy when the person died. That's what you call covering the death cause. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we were not properly informed as a society. This article says, strikingly, when compared to emphysema vaccines, the data contained no cases of cardiac arrest or pulmonary embolism as the cause of death following emphysema or influenza vaccine. This discrepancy further supports concerns over unique cardiovascular risk associated with all COVID-19 vaccines. Ladies and gentlemen, the point being in the article that out of all of the history of all of those that have influenza or what we call a flu, that there's no indication that there's a cause of death as a result of the treatment for a flu. But yet, with the COVID, supposedly the vaccine was going to be a cure-all. This article goes on to say, systematic discouragement of autopsies during the COVID-19 pandemic. Medical institutions actively discouraged autopsies, citing a concern that viral transmission could take place. The reluctance appeared to have extended into the vaccine era, despite the clear need for forensic clarity in the cause of death. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to. The failure to warn. How many of you listening that took the vaccine or your family member took the vaccine, you were told it is safe and effective, and you believed it, and you allowed your friend, your relative, your mother, your dad, your son or your daughter to take the vaccine that ultimately destroyed their health or took their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, if it sounds like I'm passionate about it, it's because I am. If it sounds like I'm angry because of it, it's because I am boiling as I go back and re-investigate and review those facts that we talked about for 3 or almost 4 years on this broadcast every day, dealing with the lies that we had been told and the lies that we continue to be told. We were led to believe some fake voodoo science that a 6-foot social distancing would be valid method of preventing COVID, only to find out in the ending days of COVID that Sir Anthony Fauci admitted that he made it up. Did you hear what I said? Fauci admitted that there was no science, zip, zero, nada, no science behind the 6-foot social distancing. He pulled it out of thin air, out of whole cloth. And the nation was forced to adhere to that. Churches were shut down. Doors were locked. Some pastors were persecuted and prosecuted for having their churches opened. I'll read a brief portion of this and take our next caller. This is from Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver. Through the COVID trannies were over. I wish that were true. He says in this article, Liberty Counsel spent COVID years defending churchgoers, pastors, churches, healthcare workers, military members, and others from the onslaught of the bureaucrats and the politicians who tried to rob Americans of their right to religious freedom. In case after case after case, we won, reversing church closures, fighting to clear the names of those arrested for opening their church doors, and for military members who refused to relinquish their religious freedom, and defending our healthcare heroes from Joe Biden's mandated vaccinations. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been no warning. A failure to warn Americans, and globally, I should say, of the dangers of the COVID vaccine. And I'll tell you why in a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood.
I'm present. How are you?
Blessed. I know you are. I'm going to tell you, I took my wife and I took a shot in 2022 because they kept promulgating, and then they talk about a booster, but we didn't do that. We definitely didn't do that. And it started coming to my mind. My mind was stupid. The CDC and the FDA, it takes them about, I think, 4 to 5 years to approve something like that. And they did it overnight.
Kenneth, they did it overnight because there was no human trials. In fact, during the early stages of the Pfizer examination of the vaccination, several, I believe it was 50-some-odd people, died as a result of the human trials. They covered that up and said it was efficacious and safe and continued to produce it. And one of the things that killed so many COVID patients in the hospital was the drug called Remdesivir. The doctors, as I said earlier, the doctors and the nurses had gotten to the point where they knew it would kill the patient, but they were required to administer Remdesivir because the hospital administrations required it because they were getting so much money for it. Remdesivir, they would say in a joking fashion, run, death is near, run, death is near, run, death is near, because they knew Remdesivir would destroy the lungs, heart, the liver, and the kidneys. Here's a finding that should explain that particular drug being used. I'll just read one sentence. Anthony Fauci owns the patent for Remdesivir, which became part of the C-19 protocol, killing millions of people. Let me read that again. Anthony Fauci owns the patent for Remdesivir, which became part of the C-COVID-19 protocol, killing millions of people. Now, Kenneth, many people, just as you, took the shot believing that it's safe and efficacious. That was the lie from Pfizer. That was the lie from Moderna. That was the lie from Johnson & Johnson. That was the lie that was promulgated on the air 24/7 with the Communist Network News and its affiliate news media. The media was nothing other than the driving methodology used by the Big Pharma, because Big Pharma held over the heads of the media that they had paid into them, into their coffers, millions upon millions of dollars for ads, and they would pull the ads if the media ceased to push and promulgate the idea that the vaccination was needed, it was safe. In fact, on some of the Marxist media networks, they said that if you do not take the vaccination, in fact, it was Don Lemon that said, if you're unvaxxed, you need to be put in jail if you refuse the vaccination because you're killing everybody else. The mindset was, and being promulgated and pushed, that if you're not vaccinated, you're the cause of all of the deaths, when in reality, it was a failure to warn the people, the recipients of the shot, that it could paralyze you, it could sterilize you, it could kill you. Those are the three major things. That's the failure to warn that I'm talking about today. A failure to warn. So, Kenneth, I understand. It is my prayer that God will continue to sustain you, meet your need, and give you good health. Yes, but if you remain healthy, you're totally different from the majority of those that took the vaccination. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm less than 100 years old. I remember back in the 60s and the 70s, when they try to give you warnings, they'll say it so fast you don't understand. You know what the warnings were with the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now they've slowed, they made them slow down and tell you exactly what the side effects are.
Well, do you realize that with the COVID vaccination, there was a requirement, and still is today, a requirement. For example, any medicine, most medicines you get today, if not all, you open the box and you are written on the bottle, on a label, will tell you the side effects. And when you get through reading the side effects, some of those papers are printed on both sides in full sheets, and it'll take you a half hour to read all of the side effects that you're taking the medicine for. It's a federal law requiring that. If you're in the hospital, if you're to take the medication and the nurse walks in and says, the doctor prescribed it, you've got to take it. 99% of the time you say, nurse, can it kill me? what can it do to me? And they resent the question and are and generally speaking would refuse to do so and just simply go back to the fallback, well, you're required to take it. No, you're not. In fact, most hospitals, and this is pretty controversial, and that's okay, some can disagree, but most hospitals, if you're in the hospital, they want to give you what they call the belly shot. It's a blood thinner to make sure that you do not have blood clots while you're in the bed of that hospital, because they could have the liability as a result of it. On one occasion, when I was happened to be an inpatient in the hospital, they came in and wanted to do the belly. I said, no, you're not. Well, it's required. I said, no, it's not. It's not required of me. You can't tell me what I've got to take. The nurse said, well, we're supposed to. I said, I don't care what you're supposed to do. You're not putting that shot in my belly. It's not happening to me. We have the right to say no, and we have the right to be informed. Let them inform you that that belly shot over a week, over 3, 4, 5, 6 days can cause internal bleeding, intestinal bleeding, can cause you to die as a result of thinning your blood too much. They do that under the protocol of the hospital to prevent them from being charged with any malpractice of any fashion, but it puts the patient in jeopardy. We've been lied to, and there's a total failure in the medical world today, even today, to give the proper warnings of what a medication or a particular procedure could cause or what it could do. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer and our recognition, and I warn every listener, be careful that you have a proper warning, that there be a patient explanation as to what is taking place. It is what it's called informed consent. If you're not informed, don't consent. You say, well, I'll do as I please. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what I do. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for y'all. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue, I believe, failure to warn. A failure to warn. I'm looking at the article that I read a portion of earlier. We must acknowledge that abject failure of the Birx, that's B-I-R-X, and Fauci policies, that's talking about Dr. Deborah Birx, B-R-I-X, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, their policies. They were enacted, but they failed to stop the dying, failed to stop the infection from spreading, and inflicted massive damage and destruction, particularly on some of the lower-income families across America. More than 1 million American deaths have been attributed to the virus, even more than that as a result of the COVID vaccination. Schools were closed, stoppage of non-vaccine medical care, business shutdown, personal restrictions, and then a continuation of many restrictions and mandates to the present as to the vaccination. And it was totally, undeniably a failure. The proposal was rejected. History's biggest public health policy failures came at the hands of those who recommended the lockdowns and those who implemented them and those that recommended the vaccinations. Ladies and gentlemen, we can look back now and with 2020 vision. In fact, multitudes of the medical field, I was told several years ago at the apex of the COVID pandemic, plandemic, I was told by a physician friend that 3 to 5 years from now, this was back in 2020, 3 to 5 years from now, there will be a sense of shameness from the medical profession as to what they have done to the general public with the treatment called COVID CDC protocol. I believe I have a call on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood.
Good afternoon. Hope you're well.
Okay. Yes, I am. As my husband mentioned, that he and his wife had taken the shot, thinking that it would be good, I was affected by it. And it made my female hormones heighten.
Yes.
To the point that I was lactating, And I went to my doctor to see what was going on, because I'm like 70 years old then. And she said, well, what have you been taking, any hormone pills or anything like that? I told her, no, I only take what I get from her. And so then I remember I said I did take Johnson & Johnson shot, and she looked at me, but she didn't say a word. But she couldn't explain why I was lactating.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's one of the things, Terry, in the research that I've done. Many, I won't say most, many physicians were 1,000% ignorant of the side effects because they had not been informed by CDC or FDA. Many of the physicians were kept in the dark themselves, and multitudes of them wanted to stay in the dark, wanted to not have the knowledge and the information, because let's just use some hypothetical which were real at the time. A physician would get a $50 bonus if you walked in his exam room and he simply asked the question, have you had your COVID vaccination? If you said yes or no, he's asked the question, he puts that on his little computer screen, he gets an extra $50 from the CDC fund, the COVID protocol funds from the federal government. If you said, yeah, he said, would you take it? Yes, he gets another $50. That physician, if he went through that process on the total treatment of his COVID patient, he would get a 20% bonus if he continued to follow the CDC protocol. For example, with the medical associations, Ascension Hospital Group, which is the nation's largest hospital chain owned by the Roman Catholic Church. Ascension's Hospital Group, 2021-2022, booked a 572% net increase in that 1 year period of time, the largest increase of any medical association in the history of the nation. And they were the major ones that were pushing the CDC protocol and making millions as a result of it. For example, these hospitals wanted to stab the ventilator down the throat of a COVID patient because they would get $350,000 for doing so. They would keep that COVID patient on that ventilator for days, weeks, and months. And the statistical data proved then that 83% of those patients with the ventilator would die if they were kept on the ventilator more than 14 days. And yet they kept them on the ventilator day after day after day because of the increased pay for doing so. I'm looking at a headline. It says the COVID-19 vaccines were linked to the deaths of 80 Canadian doctors. And this was early on. This was in 2021. 80 Canadian doctors had taken the COVID vaccination and died. And all of a sudden, this article reads, the post was flagged on my Facebook page in an effort to combat false news and misinformation on the news feed, according to the social media. At that point in time, anything that you'd say, if you'd put it in print, it'd go on social media of any kind, it was flagged, it was sequestered, it was censored, because we were all conspiracy theorists at the time. And now those that were called conspiracy theorists in that era are now being found to be 1,000% correct in the analysis and what was said and what was taking place during that era. I'm looking at another article. The COVID-19 vax deaths and side effects, but FDA has not pulled it off the market yet. You hear that? The FDA has not canceled the COVID vaccination yet, even with all of this information, with all of this data that is in the hands of the medical society today. So, Terry, it demands our prayer, it demands our vigilance, it demands our watchfulness, and it demands more than anything else that we seek God's wisdom in times like we've been through and even today when there are multitudes of potential COVID and other pathogens that comes along that the FDA and the CDC will say, we need a vaccination for it. We need to be very, very careful and not believe the devil's lie, as I call it. But there was a failure to inform. Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're lied to about the efficacy of the CDC protocol for treating COVID. The administration and that pushed to Biden administration and to Anthony Fauci, pushed the remdesivir that killed mega millions of the patients. And yet we discover now that Dr. Fauci owns the patent for the remdesivir drug. Is that surprising to you? Ought not to be. Now I've got a massive article in my hand. Time would not allow. If we were to take two more hours in coverage, we couldn't cover the depth of this major, major, major research finding. The headline reads, just as I've used for the title of the issue today, Failure to Warn, How the Feds Downplayed Myocarditis and Let Americans Pay the Price with Their Lives. This article reads this way. Imagine being sold a car, and they tell you it's safe, only to find out later that your manufacturer knew that the brakes would fail and decided to keep quiet about it. That's essentially what happened with COVID vaccines and myocarditis. The Biden administration didn't just stumble, it chose to downplay the serious heart inflammation risk tied to the mRNA COVID vaccines, especially in younger generation, younger men in specific. The new U.S. Senate report reveals how federal health officials slow-walked any warnings and scrubbed crucial, critical guidance and even prioritized informing Pfizer and Moderna over American doctors and patients. In other words, American doctors and patients were not informed, even though they knew the facts. For example, February 2021, the CDC had received international warnings, including from Israel, about spikes in myocarditis cases after Pfizer shots, especially in teenagers and younger adults. Internal CDC emails admit, listen, the internal CDC emails admit that they were seeing large reports of the condition, yet they buried those concerns and did not reveal them. It goes further, says, instead of sounding the alarm, CDC and FDA watered down all of the reports, all of the information, and weakly nodded clinical consideration, buried deep in the CDC site. The formal Health Alert Network bulletin, the gold standard for urgent publications of health warnings, was drafted, but it was never sent out to the doctors and the hospitals. Why? Because it might have, wait for this, undermined vaccine confidence, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, the whole thing of failing to warn, the whole thing of lying about it, was if the truth were told, the confidence in the vaccination would have diminished, and more people would have said, no, 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 not in my body will I take that vaccination. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to wake up and recognize that there's been an entire demonic delusion that was cast over America and around the globe with the so-called CDC protocol. Health has diminished as a result. We need to keep praying, keep looking up, keep asking God for wisdom. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight.